Javna razprava Človečnost dobrodošla, 11. december v ZRC SAZU. V ponedeljek 11. decembra je v atriju Znanstveno-raziskovalnega centra Slovenske akademije znanosti in umetnosti potekala javna razprava z naslovom Dobrodošla človečnost oziroma v italijanskem izvirniku Restiamo umani. Dogodek je del širšega dogajanja, ki se je začelo z akcijo zbiranja donacij v prostorih skupnosti Second Home za migrante, ki so začasno zatočišče našli v tunelu Bombi v italijanski Gorici, nadaljuje pa se v soboto s protestom proti goriškim mestnim oblastem. Te so namreč tunel zaprle zaradi božičnega sejma v centru mesta, že pred tem pa dve leti niso sprejele nobenih konkretnih ukrepov za reševanje begunske situacije in so zavračale vsakršne civilne pobude za organizacijo prenočišč ali vsaj vode in stranišča. Edini ukrep mestnih oblasti pod vodstvom župana Rodolfa Ziberna je bilo zaprtje vodnjaka v bližini tunela, ki je bil za begunce stalen vir pitne vode. Primer tunela Bombi ni zgolj rezultat pasivnosti lokalne oblasti, temveč tudi restriktivne evropske azilne politike. Večina ljudi, ki je še do nedavnega spala v tunelu Bombi, je prišla iz Pakistana, Indije ali Afganistana, mnogi izmed njih pa so že več let preživeli v Nemčiji, Franciji ali Avstriji in so na to prejeli negativno odločbo na prošnjo za azil, po možnosti pa jim grozi še deportacija. Situacija v Gorici je podobna razmeram v marsikaterem drugem italijanskem mestu. Razprave je začel novinar Ivan Grozni, ki aktivno spremlja razmere v Beogradu in severnih italijanskih mestih. Da se situacija ponavlja povsod, Ivan ponazori na primeru mesta Pordenone.
Just I want to show you just one thing about Pordenone, because in Gorizia the situation was very very hard, but maybe in Pordenone was worst. Because the people live in a place like this, in a tent in the middle of the town, and they have nothing, they have absolutely nothing, and sometimes police come and take their stuffs, their clothes, and constrict them to stay without nothing. So it happens that they have to build another tent, they have to wait for some volunteers that give them clothes or sleeping bags or things like this. And this is a case, in this case, this guy, he finished, he has the documents, he has a job, he lives now in Pordenone, but during the night he helped people because he remembered that he spent the same situation in last year.
Na dogodku so bili prisotni tudi aktivisti dejavni na Hrvaškem. Evropska migracijska politika že več let temelji na okrepljeni zunanji meji, dodatno motivirana ob vstopu v Unijo, pa je vlogo varuha na meji začela opravljati Hrvaška. S Hrvaške v Srbijo dnevno potekajo tako imenovani pushbacki, ko policija nasilno odvede migrante preko meje, če tudi bi ti bili pripravljeni zaprositi za azil. O nasilju hrvaške policije obstajajo poročila. Zadnji incident, ki je prišel v glavne hrvaške medije, pa je bila smrt sirske deklice, ki jo je zbil vlak, ko so jo hrvaški policisti skupaj z družino nasilno odgnali v Srbijo. Več o nasilju policije na hrvaško-srbski meji pove Magdalena iz inicijative Dobrodošli.
But what is important for me in this moment is to underline that these collective expulsions are happening every day at the border between Croatia and Serbia, and also at the Hungarian-Serbian border. We see the same technique, as Andrei said, in all Europe. This is an approach that European Union decided to have, this externalization of our borders. What we see in the Mediterranean is the same. We have a lot of volunteers and activists at the border in Šid, which is the last Serbian city before the border with Croatia. And people there, apart from helping, let's say, in humanitarian ways, so helping in cooking, providing clothes and medical and health primary help, they are also collecting all the information about these collective expulsions. They report how around 20, 30 people per day try to cross the border and are illegally pushed back. And this is another proof that, okay, in this room is not so important to underline it, but Balkan route is not closed. People didn't stop coming. In Serbia, around 100, 150 people keep on coming every week. So Balkan route is not closed. People will not stop coming. And if we keep on closing borders, they will find other ways to come. Just they will keep on dying more and more because we discourage them. This is the word that Schengen border codes use to say that we push back people.
Razprava se je dotaknila tudi vloge migrantov v boju za svoje pravice. Restriktivni azilni postopki v evropskih državah pahnejo prosilce za azil v popolnoma negotov položaj, ki ga ministrstva z neskončno dolgimi procesi aktivno ohranjajo. Samer, ki je bil pobudnik zbiranja donacij za begunce v Gorici, pojasni, zakaj je nujno, da migranti sami začnejo z organizacijo mreže pomoči in zahtevati spremembo politike.
We always have this question when it comes to a humanitarian case or problem. We always try to define who is supporting, who is against, how do we deal with it, and so on. So after this situation has repeated many times with us in many different experiences, at the end I had like a thought that whenever we will deal with this kind of situation and when we face it again, the smartest thing to do is to start getting refugees involved in it. Because you can't assume that this amount of people would support this, that amount would be against and waste the time and the energy on just assumptions. So I decided that it should start from refugees. And the only one who is going to keep contributing to this kind of crisis are refugees, because they know what does it mean to be through this kind of experience. And since the struggle of refugees in Slovenia is not that strong enough, we are not that well organized between the refugees themselves to be able to get involved in this kind of experience, I thought maybe trying a new idea would work out. So I started the call for the initiative for all the activists in Ljubljana and make a meeting and to see how would we be able to help the refugees in Gorizia. And it worked out. A lot of people have responded. A lot of people have came to that meeting. And then we decided that the first urgent thing that we should do is collecting some stuff for them and keep on for the future. And we have succeeded to collect the aid for the guys in 6 days, I would say, or if I'm wrong, please correct me, guys. Approximately 6 days. And we have collected the whole van and we delivered it on almost the time. But the question was, what is next? We always could start this kind of initiatives, we always could collect donations from here, from there, but we don't have yet this strong base and this strong structure to keep on dealing with this kind of crisis.
V bližini Gorice sicer obstaja azilni dom, ki pa naj bi gostil več kot 700 prosilcev. Oblasti številne migrante iz taborišča prisilno odstranijo, velikokrat tudi brez očitnega razloga in jih vržejo na cesto. Zunaj mesta v smeri Trsta pa obstaja tudi begunski tabor, kamor oblasti ne posegajo, ker tam pač ni v neposredni bližini meščanov. Svojo izkušnjo Gorice in evropskega azilnega sistema je na dogodku delil brezimni migrant.
Finally I got my status in Slovenia. I was waiting for it 2 years. But before that I had exactly that situation which these people have now in Italy. I was also homeless. I was living 2 years in Udine on the street. And first I start from Gradiska. There is one asylum home. I was 5 days there and I got kicked out for no reason. And I started going to the lawyer. There was like the best lawyer was Tamara, which is in Gorizia. I don't know if the Italian people, they know her, but she was the best. She would like fix everything, help everybody without in any situation. But I was the only one who she couldn't help. And I started to living about 2 months in the jungle in Gradiska by the river, Gradiska di Sonza. So we were getting food from the asylum home. There was a lot of Afghanian people. They were helping those people who were living in the jungle and outside. There was people who had situation worse than me. And I started going to Udine, hanging out with some Italian people, some Afghanian people. I found some people, but there was no help. I didn't get any help from the government, from police. And I was every day asking to get my ID card because I had document, I had ID card for, not ID card. I had status, but they couldn't give me because I didn't have any address. And if I wanted to have address, I needed job. And for job, I needed the document, the ID card. So that was my situation. And I started with some of my friends to dealing some drugs, just marijuana, not other things. But we were just surviving. We were doing this job just for surviving because we didn't have anything to eat. And after that, I got arrested. I was 2 months in the Udine in prison. When they let me out, I tried to go to Switzerland because I was applied for asylum in Switzerland once with my sister. So they were deporting me back. Okay. That's a commercial maybe. And every time I was going to Switzerland, they deport me back because this is the Dublin case, Dublin law. Wherever you ask for asylum for the first time, you have to stay there. And I didn't have any help in Italy, so I just decided to go back to Switzerland. They put me in a jail for about 8 months. They deported me back to Italy for second time. And I was still in the street. I went back to Switzerland again. They put me in the jail for one more year. And they did deport me back for third time. And when I went back to Italy, I asked for the police that I need some place. I have to stay in this country because I applied for asylum for the first time. And they were just like, we don't care. You can just go to find yourself a place. And this is it. Until you don't have place, we cannot give you an ID card. So I just start to make myself a world without border. So I was totally illegal. I was going around to Switzerland, France, Belgium, I was everywhere, totally illegal. But I couldn't do it anymore because it was really hard. The worst situation is to be illegal when you don't have document. You don't have life, you don't have any feeling. You don't know what to do, you don't have job, you don't have place to sleep. So I went back to Italy by myself for the last time and I started dealing again because I didn't have any other job. I couldn't do anything else. But I was enjoying at the same time on the street. I was making myself a king of street because it was the best situation. I was making the best situation from the worst situation that I had. I never wanted to be negative, and I was enjoying wherever I went, in prison, in the street, because I believed in myself that I can do it, I can make it finally. The last time I was in prison in Gorizia for 6 months, because I got deported back from Switzerland. After 1 week, I got arrested in Italy, because on 2013 I was dealing drug and they just arrested me. So for the old problems, you go to prison for 6 months. And I was in Gorizia for 6 months without court, without lawyer, anything. And after 6 months, they just let me go. And I found a friend which was with me in the prison from Slovenia. He told me that I can come to Slovenia and try, maybe I can get status.
Italija ima med evropskimi državami sicer manj restriktivno azilno politiko. Migranti svoje bivanje pogosto lahko legalizirajo preko delovnega razmerja in brez statusa azilanta. Na drugi strani pa takšna politika opravlja funkcijo generiranja bazena delavcev brez pravic, ki so za preživetje prisiljeni opravljati skrajno naporna fizična dela. Današnji povzetek ponedeljkove razprave zaključi pravnica Polona Mozetič.
When we talk about Gorizia, I think Dublin regulation is also, you know, important factor, because countries which are on the external European border, like Italy, Greece, and Spain, these countries were traditionally emigration countries. They even witnessed large internal migrations, for example, Italy. So only in the 90s, these countries started to experience migration from outside the European Union. But they did not really rely on asylum as a system to govern migration. Rather, the government of migration was characterized there by illegalized labor with periodical waves of regularization. However, with the European financial crisis, everything changed, and the countries that are on the external European border are now, after the summer of migration, they are the most responsible for processing the majority of the asylum requests. Therefore, you know, it is like natural that primarily Italy argue for the quota system, and they try also, the Italy itself tries to circumvent the Dublin system in its own way. For example, Italy is the country who grants the most subsidiary and humanitarian protection, and they also they're also known of the practice that they don't really take fingerprints from the asylum seeker. So it is really, I think, interesting that now in Gorizia we are faced with migrants who were asylum seekers who were rejected by the German asylum system and are now coming to Italy, and they want to, you know, get integrated through the Italian labor migration regime. This is like an interesting turn, I think.
Še informacija o sobotnem protestu v Gorici. Začetek je predviden ob 3. uri na trgu Svetega Antona v središču italijanske Gorice. Pol ure predtem se bo pričel shod na slovenski strani pri mejnem prehodu Rožna dolina, ki se bo pridružil tovarišem na glavnem trgu na drugi strani meje. Več o demonstraciji na Facebook strani Dobrodošla človečnost. Ov poročilo je pripravil Jošt.